Welcome to a special flash edition of Musonomics, supported by Luminate. In New York, I'm Larry Miller from the Music Business Program at NYU Steinhardt. We have a new guest host this episode, Lynn Gonzalez. Lynn is a partner at entertainment law firm Granderson Desrochers and hung out at Universal Music Group for many years, where she was head of business affairs at Def Jam. In other words, Lynn knows things. Welcome to Musonomics, Lynn. Where are you today?
Well, thanks for having me. I'm actually not too far from you up in Westchester.
Excellent, excellent. So there's a lot of action on the Musonomics front this week. We'll be discussing the UMG Chord deal, also the acquisition of Nigeria-based music company Maven, and TikTok's newest musical challenge. We'll talk about engineers and also AI and an update on Tennessee's Elvis Act.
Awesome. Let's dive right in, Larry.
Universal Music Group announced on February 20th that it's taking a 25.8% stake in Chord Music Partners, which owns stakes in 60,000 songs. Really interesting deal for a number of reasons. Lynn, what's your take?
I think it's been a big week for UMG, and they just found a way to make themselves even bigger without having to front their own money. I think it's a smart deal that pulls in additional market share and copyrights for them to distribute without them having to outlay a big percentage of cash that would otherwise go to their shareholders since they're now a public company. It's also a way for them to play in a space that's they very publicly said they weren't interested in being in, which is that they're generally not buyers of catalogs because they're discerning and they like to have full control of those catalogs. They haven't wanted to be financial players or investors in the past, so this is an interesting move.
And they get to partially own, but also administer both the sound recordings and the music publishing copyrights through the Virgin side of their business on the recorded music side and also through Universal Music Publishing. Pretty good deal for them. And as well, the family behind Chord, the Dundee Consortium, which is the investment arm of the Hendel family, gets to replace KKR in their cap table with Universal Music Group. Not so bad. And there are some reasonably well-known copyrights that are in this catalog, right, Lynn?
Absolutely. We've got things like The Weeknd, Ryan Tedder, One Republic, records by Lorde, Kid Cudi, Diplo, quite a few.
And many of those were originally assembled by and developed by Songs Music Publishing, a company that we knew and loved well until their sale in 2017 to Cobalt, which then eventually sold on to what became Chord. So super interesting for all parties involved and looks like a pretty good exit for KKR too.
And an interesting note that there's not very many private families that have this much of a stake in the music industry. I think these guys are $1 billion in nearly with this investment.
Right. And that's just on Chord. Also worth noting that they have other music investments as well, like Jukebox, styled as JKBX, which is a topic for a future Musonomics episode.
Well, I love the commitment.
UMG has acquired a majority stake in Lagos, Nigeria-based Maven Global. Lynn, this is a pretty big deal.
Absolutely. I mean, Maven is, you know, known for being one of the smartest and most forward-thinking businesses coming out of Nigeria, working with this genre of music. And it's, you know, very interesting to see a company that's not from the continent of Africa taking such a big ownership stake in African music.
Pretty strategic on Universal's part. Sub-Saharan Africa is the fastest growing region for recorded music consumption in the world, according to the 2022 IFPI report.
Absolutely. Some great music's been coming out of there for a while. And Don Jazzy, who is the CEO of Maven, has been behind a lot of it, especially for the output that's coming from Nigeria. So I think it's a very big move for Don Jazzy. It's kind of a proof of concept for, you know, Afrobeats as a genre, you know, on the global scale. But, you know, there's some anecdotal concerns about such a large investment coming from America, basically.
Many people might be familiar with the biggest artist on the label, Rema, who had that hit Calm Down with Selena Gomez, which did over a billion streams on just Spotify alone.
I really love that record, and I love the idea of these African artists working cross-genre with other artists from other countries. I think there's such opportunity in the Latin space and in the African space as well for that kind of collaboration, and I love to see it.
Absolutely. And, you know, we were just talking about KKR in the last story, and a little weirdly, Maven was partnered with a unit of another private equity colossus, TPG, of all people, was a backer of Maven, and they are now out, and Universal is now in. And Lynn, was this competitive? I know that Maven was at least partially distributed by Universal. Did others bid on this?
I know there was at least interest from others. Of course, I wasn't a part of the deal, but I will say, I mean, Maven is one of the top brands in the space and definitely a real win for UMG in this case.
Lynn, you spotted a deal that I kind of missed. Tell us about Engineers.
Yeah, I was really attracted to the story because I just think the service is super smart. Engineers was started by the engineer Mixed by Ali, who's known for his work with TDE and on Kendrick Lamar Records. Yeah. And its investors include like Kendrick Lamar, Empire founder and CEO Ghazi, Alex the Kid, Roddy Ricch, Mustard, YG, DJ Khaled, Russ, and Tunde from LVRN. So, you know, lots of big, credible people behind it. It's a platform that democratizes and streamlines the booking of studio time and gives unsigned and developing artists access to some of the best studios and people behind the boards. I think it can also be a great marketing tool for lesser-known studios and talented engineers that don't have the same name recognition that others do. For example, you know, everyone knows Ali for his work with, you know, TDE and Kendrick, but he's basically saying anyone that appears on this platform or that can be booked through the platform is endorsed by him. They're saying, you know, these are vetted engineers and studios, and you can have access to them and their qualities.
Lynn, who else is in this space?
Yeah, I've heard of some other companies in the space. Obviously, I'm a lawyer, so this isn't my world, but I haven't heard of any that had this sort of tie-in with such well-known and reputable people or that came with this level of endorsement by someone of Mixed by Ali's level. I just think it's a really thoughtful service with real credibility behind it, with investment from people that live in that world, and it looks like it could create real efficiency and solve a logistical issue if it takes off.
Cool. So eyes on Engineers. And probably the biggest consumer-facing story of the week is the ongoing saga of Universal Music Group versus TikTok. Lynn, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, they started taking down the publishing group stuff on TikTok this week, and that includes masters that aren't controlled by Universal Music Group. So I think while when the masters came down, there wasn't as much noise about it as I expected, I think there'll be a lot more noise and a lot more coming down with the publishing takedowns that are happening now.
Yeah, and, you know, in publishing versus recorded music, UMG probably controlled about 30% of the relevant catalog on TikTok on the recorded music side.
Yeah.
But when you factor in music publishing and co-writes and songwriters who are assigned to Universal Music Publishing, whose music was released on another label, well, we're told that the amount of relevant catalog on TikTok that amounts to can be somewhere between like 65% to 80%. So like that's most of the music on TikTok.
That's a lot. Billboard just did that story on how UMGX are already deploying workarounds to keep their music on the app. So there seems to be a bit of a disconnect between how those acts, you know, value the app and how UMG values it as a marketing platform. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Well, I think, you know, to look at the workarounds, artists aren't putting up the official finished and released versions of works in the workarounds. They're putting up live versions. They're putting up sped up versions. They're putting out remixes and so on in order to sort of stay relevant on a platform that they consider to be their biggest promotional platform.
Right. It makes UMG look a bit like the bad guy. And, you know, I'm all for fighting for fair compensation and don't see that as a bad thing. But I went back and looked at an open letter that UMG issued in January on the topic. And I found it interesting that they said, and I quote, "TikTok's tactics are obvious. Use the platform power to hurt vulnerable artists and try to intimidate us into conceding to a bad deal that undervalues music and shortchanges artists and songwriters as well as their fans." That's not necessarily obvious to me, and I don't think it is to the casual fan either. I think it's also a tough pill for the distributed labels to swallow, you know, since they probably expected that channel to be available to them. I mean, it's a bold move on UMG's end. They are the market leaders. We'll see what happens.
Does this remind you of any other deal that we may remember over the last 15 years or so, like, say, oh, I don't know, YouTube and Warner Music Group.
Quite a few, right?
Right. And I'm even seeing some of the same language, right? I haven't heard, for example, the term value gap since YouTube was viewed as a bad actor in the music space. And, of course, all these years later, YouTube is one of the single largest revenue sources for the entire recorded music industry.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how this shakes out, especially when, you know, these publishing takedowns are happening in songs that UMG may just have a small interest in. Or
so, Lynn, where do you think we go from here?
I think it's going to be a bumpy ride, and we'll see if the other labels are happy for UMG to be the leader and follow along, or if there's resistance.
Well, you know, the positive scenario is that TikTok is going to be a $15 billion business this year, built on the back of music copyrights, even though it's not a streaming service per se, is creating enormous value based on the music. And so something's got to give in terms of the compensation that's coming back to the music industry. And there were the new developments in Tennessee's so-called Elvis Act. This bill, Elvis, is an acronym for the Ensuring Likeness, Voice, and Image Security Act. Yikes. Which aims to safeguard artist IP against misuse by AI players, is now on its way to passage in the state of Tennessee. Lynn, you're an actual lawyer. What do you make of this?
Well, I mean, first, I must say, I always get a kick out of these bill names, and there's no, it's not lost on me that they named it after Elvis, one of the most impersonated men in the world. But obviously, this is a significant issue and one that I'm very concerned about. To be honest, mostly for reasons that go well beyond the music industry. I think it's a tremendously complex issue, and I applaud any jurisdiction taking actionable steps to regulate this space appropriately. You know, of course, the biggest instance of this that we've seen was the fake Drake record that came out a few months ago. It's a real issue, right? Artists make their living off of protecting their brand and monetizing their brand. And so if you have people influencing their brand in ways that weren't intended, it just puts them at risk and really jeopardizes their business. And it's something that I think we should find ways to protect against.
On the other hand, if they do want to engage with AI or let fans play with their stuff and make user-generated content using AI, it should be with the artist's consent.
Absolutely. I mean, there just needs to be parameters around it. I don't want to discourage the collaboration or speak negatively on a new technology. It's just important that it be regulated appropriately to protect everybody.
Well, that's it for this week. Glad to have you here, Lynn.
Back at you, Larry. This was super fun. Thanks for having me.
From the Music Business Program at NYU Steinhardt, I'm Larry Miller.
And from Granderson Des Rochers, I am Lynn Gonzalez.
This Musonomics podcast was executive produced by Lars Murray, technical production by Jax Cantrell and Isaac Gaines. If you like what you heard, share the episode with a friend and be sure to follow us wherever you get your pods so you don't ever miss a new episode. And while you're at it, please give us a rating and a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really helps. Once again, thanks to Luminate for their support on this episode. And if you have a story or a hot tip for us, drop an email to listeners@musonomics.com.